Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, and you're listening to a very special encore presentation of Animal World. We'll all be back in the studio again next Sunday at 9 a.m. for another live show. So be sure to join us right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Of Animal World. We're here till noon today and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with family and friends around the country, around the world if they've got internet access. And the fastest way to pull up the stream is go directly to the 1150kknw.com website. Click on Listen Up or Left and then Listen Online, and you'll be all set up to stream the show. And we would be ready to move on. Merritt and Beth are here. But I can't move on. Because I'm upset. Nathan, what the heck does Zoom up to? When we do Love Train, okay, we're on Zoom here. But Nathan and I have this thing that we use avatars and stuff, and so we got sunglasses on, and we got things, and Nathan gets all kinds of laser stuff and going. So anyway, we have a big party, Love Training, here on Zoom together. So we get here, we're a little late, Love Training starting, because, you know, we got to get Merritt and Beth on Zoom and talk to them and all of that. And then we go to tune in to Love Train, and I hit my little video thing here, Nathan,
Yeah, you turned yourself into a look like a little bunny rabbit, didn't you?
Well, I clicked on the arrow that normally comes up, and then there'll be a thing to choose a whatever.
Yeah?
It doesn't have the same things anymore.
You probably got an update of Zoom, and they changed where things
right. So
appear.
I think that Zoom updated between the last time I used it earlier this week and now. And now the settings are not there, and I couldn't find my rainbow sunglasses and all of that. And so I didn't truly get to Love Train because I'm trying to fool around and figure out how to find everything, and I can't find everything. So Martha's very frustrated because this is one time where I'm feeling my age, and I'm not technically good enough. So everything changed, and now I don't know how to do anything anymore.
You probably just needed to, if you're looking at the same thing I was looking at, just click or go down and scroll a little bit further past the little, you know, animals, avatars, and then you'll find your rainbow eye shades or whatever you want to call them.
All right, so let's see. So it says, you know, it's blur my background. I don't want to do auto frame my video. I have no idea.
Yeah, you just keep scrolling down and down and down.
Well, but then it says show avatar. That's where you, and then it says video and effects settings. So yeah. I assumed that would be the one I click on.
It's under the video filters section. So you just got to look for that. But
well, all right. So then when I click on video and effects settings, then a new box opens up on the right side, which has never happened before.
Yeah, that's where you're going to find it, is that new box on the right
side.
All right,
so I'm on video now, I see me, and then there's appearance, virtual backgrounds. It's not a background I want.
Yeah, just keep scrolling down and down and down. You'll get to it.
And then let's see, FaceTime, appearance, touch up, just for light, portrait lighting, auto framing, virtual backgrounds. I know that. Then it says avatars. Okay. And then video filters. That's what I want.
There you
right?
are. That's what you're looking for.
So where the heck are they? But they're not there. Where are my, there they are. Okay. So that's all right. Okay. So now, okay. All right. Sorry, everybody, but you know, I have to, it scrambles my brain when I can't figure this stuff out, so I have to know before I can continue.
Well, there's your Zoom 101 class for the day. Now let's move on to Martha Nowak's Animal World.
All you people that do this kind of stuff, like, you gotta, oh, we have a kitty joining us. What a gorgeous, it looks a Russian blue color gray kitty. In best lap. So anyway, let's get on with the show. It is an extra Sunday, so that means we're spending most of it with Merritt and Beth Clifton from animals24-7.org. I swear these people don't sleep, and they know everything about animals and everything going on in the world. And we are usually talking about Henry and Arabella, the chickens. And every once in a while, Teddy, your little dog, joins in. But have we ever seen this one? Who is this?
This is Sebastian. He's 18.
And he's 18?
He's 18.
That's a senior citizen cat.
He looks fabulous for 18. Just looking at him, I would have never guessed he was that old.
Well, now that he's the only cat in the house, which he's actually loving, he's like a spring chicken.
He looks like the fluffiest little thing, too.
He's medium coat, but we built him a catio. And we hadn't quite gotten the roof on yet. And I walk out. I didn't think he could do it. I didn't think he had it in him. He was at the top of the catio. I almost had a heart attack.
Uh-oh, dear. I'm trying thinking about how to get out the top.
Well, he was at the top. And so Merritt and I scrambled for 15 minutes, which we really know better. That if they got up, they can get down. So sure enough, about 15 minutes later, he found his way down. And then the guy came out and put a temporary roof on because we're in the middle of finishing this catio thing.
Well, I'll tell you, I have been doing catios now since the 1990s. I did the first one at my farm. I added a cat door through my bedroom wall and then built, like, you know, a bedroom size room cat cat run right outside the house. And then when I had to go move back into Seattle to live with my dad, I built just a little cat run off of his house because there wasn't much room, but so my cats could still go in and out into the cat run. But then when I moved out here, my criteria was that I had to have a place for a wonderful catio. Well, I did, and we built this one around a big cedar stump. So I call mine the Paz Mahal. I'll have to send you guys pictures, but it's huge. So they go through a cat door in the wall of the guest bedroom, and then they have a breezeway. It's like a little walkway, you know, fully covered between the house and into the cat run. So it's maybe 3-4 feet long that they walk through to get it. And the cat run is 20 by 22 feet. So it's huge. There's a big, huge old cedar stump in the middle of it. Got rim lofts around the top, carpet color covered, you know, 4x6s so they can climb up to the rim lofts, and they're climbing and scratching. Anyway, it's the coolest cat run I've ever seen. And yeah. I call it the Paz Mahal. And boy, it just, when I realized you could do cat runs back in the 90s when they started to become popular, that's when I would realized my cats had always my life been indoor outdoor models. But when I moved out in the country, I thought they would be safer. It was worse because they're not only does you have to worry about the street, but then there's aerial predators and ground predators and all kinds of things. And it was way worse for their safety. And so I had to build a cat run because I had to not let my cats run, or I wouldn't have had any cats left.
Right.
And so I've had indoor models only with a cat run since that time. And and one of the biggest lessons I learned was with the feral cat I had at the time, you know, who barely came into the house to eat. And when I put in the cat run for the first time at the farm, I taught all my Abyssinians, you know, and my house cats about how to use the cat door and the cat run and all of that. But I didn't teach the feral cat anything because I figured she's not going to want to do the cat run. She's 95% outside. And then after a while, the cat run had been in for a while. And after a while, I couldn't find the feral cat. I said, I never see her. Where is she? And then I went out to the cat run. And by God, she's lounging in the cat run. And, you know, when I talked to her, I said, what's going on? Why are you doing it in the cat run? I didn't even tell you about it. How do you know? And she said, thank you. She said, I could never relax outside. Okay, because I have to be aware of predators. But I can come out here and just relax. It doesn't matter. I'm safe. And so she ended up spent 95% in the cat run, you know, like 2.5% in the house, and the other 2.5% she might go outside. But even you know, the ones that are used to being feral and used to be out will love a cat run, and to them it's much safer because they don't have to worry about the predators.
Runs continuously since 1996, varying size, but they always like vertical space. That's the most ways to climb.
Yeah.
So this is replacing our previous cat run, which connected to a cat yard that was about the size of your cat run.
Uh-huh.
We have one cat now. At one point, we had nine cats here.
So, God, you had more than I did. Wow.
At one point, he had way more than that.
At one point, this is more than 30 years ago. For a short period of time, I had 42.
42 cats?
Yeah, I've had a lot.
Merritt, you're a cat guy?
Oh, yeah. I've always had cats.
Oh, okay. The cat man.
In that particular case.
Except I do the work.
The big TNR project that I was part of in Connecticut had unexpectedly been closed down by the organization that owned it. And so I had to temporarily relocate a lot of cats till I could rehome them.
Wow.
Unfortunately, one particular coyote helped a bit with the process. Found out she had been caught in a trap, lost a leg, and she figured out that hiding under a particular bush, she could ambush some of the relocated feral cats until one of them took out after the coyote, and the last I saw the coyote was going up the side of a mountain as fast as she could go with the cat standing below.
Yeah, cats will do that.
It all depends on whether the cat was coyote savvy or not, and obviously this cat was.
Well, that can happen. Now, when I was at my farm, I had 5 or 6 cats, and this was before the cat run time. So I had indoor outdoor models, and I had one big black cat that was, his name was Isis, and I had inherited him from a friend. He came with his brother, but his brother got caught by an owl or an eagle or something, aerial predator. But he knew how to survive, and I would go walking with, and that's when I had my Wolf Odies and, you know, my herd of wolf hybrids and dogs, and we'd go walking on the acreage. Well, this cat would go walking with us and around, and he was quite comfortable going on walks with us. He would chase the female cats back to the house. He wouldn't let them come out with us. And at some point I got really concerned about him, you know, because of all the coyotes and stuff. And so I talked to him, you know, I talked to animals, and I said, I you know, there's coyotes here and you need to stay close and all of that. And he said, Mom, not a problem. I got it handled. And I said, well, I just, you know, make me happy, stay close. No, I got it handled. I'll just show you how good I am at this. So the time I had this, I had like 12 acres and I had one house, and then I had a little house like 50 feet away from my house, and I rented that house out. And my renters at the time were my friends, Krista and Rhonda from the New Spirit Journal and the New Times and all of that. Anyway, they lived on the property. They had German Shepherds. They had two. So when I had this talk with my cat, he said, I'll show you. Oh, my God, it was hell to pay on my property for the next few days, because when I'd be outside, I used to be outside, Krista or Rhonda would come out with their German Shepherds and start walking. Isis would start hissing and, you know, Halloween cat, you know, hair standing out, and he would then run 100 miles an hour and fly on the back of the German Shepherd, who, of course, would scream and take off and all of that. And he 3 days, he said, see, no problem. They're easy to intimidate when you know what to do. And so, by golly, he could intimidate those coyotes. And they didn't mess with him.
That's the kind of cat that I call a dog slayer.
Yeah.
I've had 3 or 4 of them over the years among hundreds of cats that I've had. And they terrorize dogs. That's how they get their kicks.
Right. Yeah. So cats can be tough. Now, I don't know about these days. I don't know about it, but wild animal behavior is changing, and especially coyote behavior, and especially in the cities and around. You see them. They're out during the day now. They don't seem to have the fear that they used to, and their menus are changing. You know, domestic animals and stuff are more on their list. Hell, you know, there's been a lot. Well, you know more about the reports, you know, Merritt and Beth, than I do. But, you know, we have some coyotes attacking kids and stuff these days. I mean, are you seeing more a change in behavior in these animals?
Go
ahead, Beth.
What often happens is, cats in a neighborhood, some cats, not necessarily here, but anywhere, cats will start showing up dead and killed in what looks like gruesome ways. So people assume it's a human being doing it. They swear it's a human being, but usually it's a coyote.
Oh, okay.
You know, you have, it's like, oh, there's a serial cat killer in our neighborhood.
Usually
what it is a coyote.
Yeah, I've investigated a number of these cases in person, and a coyote pretty much stereotypically attacks cats from ambush, from a side with a scissor bite, same way as they hunt rabbits. And if they're successful, they pretty neatly decapitate the cat. And they take off with the edible part, and they'll leave the head behind. And people see this and just completely freak out.
Growing up, I lived alongside a green belt, and, you know, people would have, you know, house cats and stuff like that. And frequently you'd go along. There was a trail that went through the kind of the woods of the Greenbelt and stuff like that. And you would frequently see lost cat sign posters that put up. And then when you saw those, you knew that's not good.
Probably.
It's probably not lost. It's probably been, you know.
That happens to everybody that has pets. Sometimes they just get out and hopefully you can, you know, retrieve them or they come home. But, you know, that kind of, but all the more reason that a catio, you could build the catio pretty cheaply.
Well, I'll mention a lady I used to be acquainted with 30-some years ago, a biologist named Martha Grimes in San Diego, who studied coyote scat for several years and determined in the San Diego foothills at that time, 21% of their diet was free roaming and feral cats.
Oh, how much? 21%?
1%. This was at about 1995, 96. Unfortunately, she was on her bicycle checking scats one day, got hit by a car and killed. So it ended a very promising and useful career. But that study is still frequently cited. Now, the number of cats at large now is only about 10% of what it was then due to the success of trap, neuter, release programs. But nobody has really duplicated Martha's study in all these years.
Well, isn't that amazing? And one would think, you know, if they did that, repeated that study and collected the scat, the coyotes, you would think the percentage of, you know, cats in their diet would have increased. But well, maybe not, but like you said, with the TNR programs and so forth.
You know, back then, the outdoor cat population was around 40% of the total cat population. Now it's down to about 8% of the total cat population. So it's way, way, way down.
But I have to say, I mean, but their behavior is changing. And I have to tell people anymore, well, you know, the way I knew coyotes, you know, when I, back in the 80s, and I lived around Bridal Trail State Park, and I would ride, you know, my horse and with my Chowie golden retriever, there was a pack of coyotes that lived in the Bridal Trails Park. And they denned up in the blackberries to the side of the power lines. But when we would ride through, the coyotes would come out behind us, and Chowie had started a relationship with them. And it was the funniest thing because I'd ride by, Chowie'd be behind me. As soon as we crossed the den site, the coyotes would come out and then they'd line up and they'd look like a bunch of geese flying because Chowie'd be the leader of the pack and then all these coyotes behind him. And we had this nice little pack and we'd ride and they'd stay with us until we got to must have been the end of their territory. Because then they'd stop and we'd go on. And then when we came back, they'd pick us up and escort us back, you know, to their den areas. And then they'd stay there and we'd go on home. But, you know, we had a real congenial relationship with the coyotes and the trails. And, you know, and dog was not on their menu at all. Now, Myra Goose had a goose condo and had to be, you know, closed up like your Henry and Arabella, your chickens, because she certainly would have been coyote food. But I couldn't be sure that that would happen these days. I know I have friends that live down in Seattle by the Washelli Cemetery and stuff there. And they go walking with their dogs all over that big cemetery. Well, there's lots of issues now with the coyotes, and they're out during the day and they meet you when you're coming into the park and they follow you. And now there've been now legitimate reports of these coyotes chasing the people and the dogs and grabbing it. And it's like, they're afraid to go to the cemetery and walk anymore. My friend won't take her. She has a bass down, won't go to the cemetery.
They've been feeding those coyotes and they've learned that if they follow people, the people may drop some food.
Right.
Yeah, and that's what I keep telling you. It's you know, we, you know, our hearts are always in the right place, but we're not always doing something that serves the higher good. And you know, feeding wildlife is generally, in most circumstances, not an appropriate thing to do.
Well, just recently in Bellingham, it was a puma that somehow we don't, of course, we don't know if anybody was feeding the puma, but they, I hope they relocated it. I'm not sure if they relocated it.
So you're talking cougar type cat,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Just like the coyotes come down, this puma in cougar, mountain lion, same thing.
Yeah.
Bellingham was making itself very comfortable all in different neighborhoods around there.
Oh, yeah.
Worried about that, too. There's a was a biologist. It seems like all the biologists that now get killed on the job. But this was a Washington State biologist who radio-collared coyotes and found that they were very plentiful in the foothills around Seattle and the suburbs and so forth. But they were only hunting deer at night, staying out of sight of people, being very well-behaved. Unfortunately, this guy stood up at the wrong time while getting in or out of a helicopter. And
oh, that was...
You remember the guy?
Well, I'm spacing his name. Is it part of the Department of Fish and Wildlife?
Right.
At the time was a regular guest here on Animal World. So when he was killed, it was a tremendous blow to the wildlife community and Department of Fish and Wildlife. His name has got to come back to me here.
The only guy I know of who's doing comparable work on urban wildlife is a guy named Stan Garrett in Chicago in the Greenbelt area. He's done a lot of terrific work on urban coyotes and on the occasional puma that drifts into the Greenbelt. But there's a lot of room for other people to do studies there and really better understand how we're interacting with not just the wild predators, but also the species like raccoons and possums and skunks and so on and so forth.
Rocky Spencer.
Rocky. Yeah. That was a tough one. Because he was so good. They were always flying around on helicopters and so forth. And it just happened to be the way they landed the helicopter and the way, and he got out and, oh, it was, but it was because, Department of Fish and Wildlife, they were regulars on the show at that point. And Rocky was my guy. He was, in the studio. And those were the days of Zoom didn't exist. So we were always in, there's our Rocky. We were always in the studio. Gosh, what a great guy he was. And so knowledgeable. And I think cougars were his specialty.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was a tremendous blow to the community. And I immediately, as soon as you recognize, I'm back at the funeral. And I remember being there at the funeral. That was a tough one to get over. I continued to have Department of Fish and Wildlife people, and especially when he also when they brought the Karelian bear dogs in, that was really fun. We had a lot of those officers in the studio and the bear dogs in, and they do a presentation once a year out at the Northwest Dream Center in McCollum Park, South Everett. And they bring the bear dogs and so forth and teach you about how, what you need to know about bears if you're out in the wild and what they do. And they show you the bears, the dogs working the bear dog. Anyway, it's a great presentation. It should be coming up this spring, I'm sure. Lot to learn. So I didn't realize there were people doing studies around our area anyway, related to coyotes and that kind of stuff. Any of that kind of stuff still going on? Anybody studying that sort of thing that you know of?
I'm sure people are, but I haven't seen any good recent papers, anything really exciting in a while. I mentioned Stan Garrett. He's the major one doing those studies these days.
I just looked at the clock and I'm realizing I got so excited about talking about all this stuff that totally spaced our commercial break. So let's take care of our advertisers. I'm surprised that Bigfoot wasn't stomping around. He was fascinated too. So let's take care of advertisers, and we come back more with Merritt and Beth Clifton. Check out animals24-7.org is the website. Sign up for the newsletter, then you'll know what's going on. Stay right where you are. More with Merritt and Beth right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude Ponton can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude can work with you remotely, office, or on-site if you live in the Seattle area. Jude can also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Hi, this is Stacy, and you're listening to a very special encore presentation of Animal World. We'll all be back in the studio again next Sunday at 9 a.m. for another live show. So be sure to join us right here on Alternative Talk, 1150.
I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are midway through the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here till noon today and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here in Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We heard from our NuPro supplements, and remember it's N-U-P, as in Peter, R-O, NuProSupplements.com. They got great supplements for dogs, cats, and ferrets, best cat vitamins around. My older Sophie won't eat her food unless I sprinkle the NuPro nuggets on her food, and then she starts eating right away. And the dog supplement's really great for skin and hair coat. There's a joint formula as well, but it's a powder you put in the food, makes a gravy, great for picky eaters. It'll get picky eaters eaten. And for shedding breeds, it keeps the hair on their body instead of on your floor. So check them out, NuProSupplements.com. You can learn all about the supplements and order at the website if you like. If you can't find the products at your pet store, they are also all available on Amazon. And remember me. I am back to work and would love you to send anybody you know that has problems with their dog friends and needs help. Have them give me a call. Tell them I'll talk to them for free on the phone, and I can help them get their problems solved efficiently and quickly. I usually only have to see people once, And I don't charge as nearly as much as everybody else, all the other trainers. So write down my number and hand it out, 360-217-7258, 360-217-7258. And then remember our premier sound healer, Jude Ponton, the one that got me back in shape. And, you know, the really incredible thing is that I was so down and so and it's really miraculous that 4 weeks later, I am back and better than ever. And that's the whole thing, is that my pelvis and hips have been unstable for a number of years. So I've had to be really, you know, careful and pay attention and here and there. And this, I don't know, was all building up to what happened with me this time. But now that Jude's got me all back, it's like I'm more stable than ever. So it's like maybe this had been building and all of this, but then that finally rotated my lower, you know, lumbar spine a little bit. And what she got that back, it's like, I'm pretty amazed. And so is she. So anyway, if you need help with your physical body, Jude is the one. And it's Whispering Dragon Center. She's in Shoreline. It's in her home now. So great location, easy parking. And she can work with you in person, which I highly recommend, but she can also work with you remotely. She had to do that with me a couple of times during my healing process. Anyway, check her out, whispering-dragon.com online, Whispering Dragon Center on Facebook, or give Jude a call. She'll call you back, 206-706-2836. 206-706-2836. All righty then. We are just getting started. Merritt and Beth Clifton are here from animals24-7.org. Now, let's just assume there's somebody's, you know, flipped the dial or tuned in and somebody's listening that hasn't heard you guys before. Why don't you tell us, you know, what is animals24-7.org? Give us a little description of what that is.
Well, we report the current animal news from all around the world, with the emphasis on the intersection of animal issues with human health and safety. So we do things on dog attacks, zoonotic disease, animal rights issues, animal sheltering, animal care and control, sometimes things that pertain to zoos.
Wildlife.
Wildlife, of course, urban wildlife. Whatever is the current issue, and we hardly ever do the same thing 2 days in a row. It's always something different. There's always something new to report.
Yeah, and I tell you, you are such a phenomenal resource. And I'm always blown away when I read your posts and click through, you know, to go through everything, how much information you provide and how much detail. You go to it really is amazing. And that's why, you know, in my mind, you guys never sleep. I have no idea how you do all of this and know what you know. But I had no idea. You're a cat man. And you had 42 cats at one point. Were you rescuing or were you just a cat lady in a guy suit?
I was the statistician and wildlife expert for what was really the first major controlled test of neuter return in the United States in Connecticut in 1991-92. It started out as a rabies control project. The idea is to get the feral cats vaccinated as a barrier between house cats and rabid raccoons.
And then spayed and neutered.
And get them spayed and neutered so there was not an additional population of cats out there. The idea is to reduce the cat population at the same time as vaccinating the cat population, and avoiding creating a void that would attract more cats. So I'm doing the stat work and a lot of volunteers and a veterinarian, Dr. Arnold Brown, was doing the spay-neuter work. And the project went along quite successfully for 8 months. But at the end of 8 months, there was a leadership dispute among the organization that also happened to be, it was called the Animal Rights Network, and it also published the Animals Agenda magazine, for which I was news editor for 4 years.
Uh-huh.
As a result of the board level split and the eventual relocation of the whole thing to Baltimore, the building that was used to house the cats when they came back from Arnold Brown, the veterinarian, before they were returned to the where they were trapped, had to be
Vacated,
correct. And many of the cats were returned to their place. Many of them were rehomed. But along the way, there were a certain number of cats who, for various reasons, could not be returned to their where they had come from. The primary reason being a transformation of the neighborhood. The buildings demolished that they lived in. There was construction going on, things of that sort. Plus, I had personal cats as well, about 10 personal cats. So all of these cats were relocated to a former farm in upstate New York, and I continued to rehome those I could. But I basically trucked 26 cats north in addition to the personal cats.
And I have to say, I had absolutely nothing to do.
Oh, this was a long, long time before I met Beth. It was in a different part of the country altogether.
I was just wondering that. You know, and in my mind, I'm wondering, was Beth in the picture then? And I got to know. So you weren't involved back then yet.
But I have to, in Merritt's defense, it was either that or put him in a shelter. And so I'm very proud of him that he was able to take on that kind of a responsibility rather than, well, they weren't his cats. They were part of an experiment for TNR. But he took them and drove them thousands of miles to Whidbey Island.
I'm impressed too, and I've always had respect for Merritt, and like I said, I just think you're amazing. But I have even more respect now that I know you're a cat guy. I just think that's fabulous.
For me, Martha, I'm happy with one cat, but okay, three cats because I'm the one that's got to clean the litter boxes. I'm the one that's got to feed them. And, you know, I love them dearly, and I do it with pride, but no way would I ever have 47.
42. Well, yeah, that would be too many for me, too.
I've done a lot of cat care chores.
I think the most I had at once is 7.
Former vet tech took over all that stuff.
Right. It's not that Merritt's lazy, but he has to, you know, work. I work too, but I do a lot of the animal stuff, all the animal stuff.
This project gave me the opportunity to follow up on the complete lives of the cats involved in the project. And I had volunteers helping back in Connecticut where the cats were released.
Right.
We were able to establish that within 5 years, all of the spayed and neutered colonies had zeroed out through natural attrition. But of the cats who were removed, and the cats I took with me, 17 of those cats did come to Whidbey Island when I moved here 4 years later. And the last of them died at the age of 17. So once they were taken in and became basically home and catio cats, many of them did have quite a long lifespan. Some of them, unfortunately, came in already suffering from Filuke, and they didn't last as long.
But
they didn't die in the streets.
They were well taken care of. I remember one in particular I called Christmas because I trapped him on Christmas Eve. That cat could never be handled until years later when he was, after living much longer than a cat's supposed to live with Filuke, he came and lay down on my feet and died.
Oh, wow.
That was Christmas.
You're just Mr. Cheery today, aren't you?
But that has a real sweet energy to it. He knew that you rescued him, that you saved him. Ah, okay. All righty. And Bigfoot is threatening to stomp here, so we're going to take care of our advertisers for the last time in the hour. And one of the things I want to touch base with when we continue is just to find out. I know that you haven't – I think there was one post – I don't think I missed anything, but I'm real curious about, you know, all the warring stuff we got going on in the Middle East, if we know anything about animals and all that. So I just want to touch base on that. So anyway, everybody stay right where you are. Animal World continues. Merritt and Beth and animals24-7.org are here for the rest of the show. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Yeah. There is a horizontal world, and there is a vertical world. Living horizontally, our concerns are based in fear and survival. But then we hear a call to live vertically, to connect to our wholeness. Linda Rasmussen, with Vertical Energy, uses a process that helps you balance higher consciousness through your body. When you live vertically, you reap the benefits of health, peace, and clarity. For a free introductory session, call 206-841-1992.
I'm Sue Rose Minahan, inviting you to join me on Talk Cosmos Sunday, March 22nd at 1 p.m. Pacific, all about the spring equinox, cosmic energy, revealed by the insightful lens of vibrational astrology, sharing what predominant consciousness patterns we just might find ourselves experiencing during this spring's three-month season. So come journey with us on Talk Cosmos Sunday, March 22nd, 1 p.m. on KKNW.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you? You running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Hi, this is Nathan coming to you from behind the board. And today we have a very special encore presentation of Martha Norwalk's Animal World. From all of us in the Animal World family, we wish you all a happy weekend, and we look forward to being with you again on next week's live show from 9 a.m. to noon on Sunday, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Hey, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we're winding down the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World already, but we're here till noon today and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And we heard from our wonderful Linda Rasmussen, our best and energy codes practitioner. She's here the second Sunday of every month to do free remote energy balancing for you and your animal friends. You can also work with her off the air. She works out of the Intraspace facility at the old Rainier Brewery, and she can work with you in person at her office or remotely over the phone or Zoom like we do on the air here. And she continues to offer a free session for any of you. Anybody that calls or texts her at the number I'm going to give you, as long as you're a new client to her off the air, if she's worked with you on the air, that doesn't count. You can still get a free session. So all you got to do is write down this number, call or text Linda and say, hey, I'd like my free session. Number to call or text is 206-841-1992. 206-841-1992. And then remember, if you do something wonderful for humans, animals, or the planet we live on, come join our Animal World family of advertisers. We'd love to have you. And if you're interested, shoot me an email, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. Animalworldlive@hotmail.com. All righty then. So, Merritt, Beth, what do we know, if anything, about, you know, we got the Middle East is kind of blowing up and the bombs everywhere and all that sort of stuff. I really don't have a clue, you know, how they live with animals over there. Like I learned, you know, when we talked to Eileen and Help Animals India, I've had an old education about how they live with animals and the kind of all that. I don't really know what goes on over there in the Middle East. I mean, what can you tell us about the situation and the warring and our beloved animal friends that have to be being affected by all of this?
So first of all, quite a bit. We're in contact with Animals Lebanon, a couple that I've known for many, many years, operate out of downtown Beirut, and they're right in the middle of the war zone doing rescues. They're easy to find on Facebook. Just look for Animals Lebanon and go to their page. They post a daily update about what they're doing.
Animals Lebanon?
Animals Lebanon.
Okay.
There is another group there too, Beta, B-E-T-A. Beirut for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. They're also on Facebook, also fairly easy to keep track of. Not as active as Animals Lebanon, but they are still there and active. So it's relatively easy to keep track of the situation there. Cats are very, very popular throughout the Islamic world, and maybe especially in Lebanon. Dogs not so much. They do have,
so cats then are the most common domestic animal?
By far and away. You probably have 8 or 10 cats for every dog, maybe more.
Wow.
And they have the feral cat populations too.
Okay.
But also, by the way, Animals Lebanon also looks after a certain number of donkeys. They're still used for work in that part of the world. Beth, here.
This group is amazing, just amazing. They go into these buildings that have been bombed and rescue animals. They do put videos of it on. They're good about that. And I'm telling you, we are really talking about heroes for animals. They put themselves at risk. It's just amazing.
Well, it's hard to imagine what it would be like to be in a war zone like that. And but then doing what you can to serve and save animals, man, that's that takes some real courage. And now you say, you know, Animals Lebanon, are there animal help organizations in some of these other Middle East countries, like Iran, that we're bombing the, you know what, out of? And
Iran. There is really only one Western-style animal shelter or rescue organization in Iran. It's called VAFA, V-A-F-A. And it's also on Facebook, but relatively rarely posts things.
Uh-huh.
The Revolutionary Guard, basically the Iranian secret police, takes a kind of a dim view of anybody who's rescuing dogs. They see that as inherently suspect. And I have to mention here that while they claim that they're following Islamic law pertaining to dogs, they are not. Pretty extensively researched what Muhammad really said and did about dogs. And while he did not believe that dogs were a household pet, he also did not believe in treating them with any kind of cruelty or unkindness. And in his day, the houses were so small, there wasn't really a hell of a lot of room for dogs.
How about this for crazy? You're not allowed to walk the dogs on a leash.
You're not allowed to walk dogs in public.
Really?
Yeah, and you're not allowed to transport a dog in a car.
Serious penalties, like
seen.
Death.
So it's a very...
Oh, it's illegal to put a dog in a car?
Well, yeah.
Holy moly.
Transport, yep.
You can get 40 lashes for that.
Wow.
So it's a very... Notwithstanding that, there are individual animal rescuers. There are veterinarians who treat pet dogs and cats. They have to make house calls in order to do it, but there are some.
And there are also some that have backed off because of the government going after them.
The government there has also persecuted wildlife researchers. And I think I've mentioned a couple times in previous shows that there were a group of cheetah rescuers who were involved in reintroducing the cheetah to Iran and then tracking them and so forth, 8 of whom were thrown into prison for 6 years on suspicion of espionage, including a couple from just over the border here in British Columbia.
Wow. So,
and you know, there are good people everywhere, including in Iran, because there are people that do care about animals and that do want to try to help them. It's just the powers that be don't allow it.
Don't allow it. Wow. So it sounds like this Animals Lebanon is like the best place to watch or follow or get information from. And if someone wanted to help, that would be the organization to help through.
I've known the two people who run it. The director is Jason Meyer, who has done a lot of undercover investigative work on wildlife trafficking before he met and married Maggie, who is the founder of Animals Lebanon. And he's now been working with Maggie there in Lebanon for better than 20 years. A very good man, and she's a very good woman.
Okay, and this Animals Lebanon, is that what we look for on Facebook, or is it animalslebanon.com? Is there a website? Or
Animals Lebanon.
They may have a website, but it's okay. Easy to find.
So search that, but that's what you'd search on Facebook?
Correct.
Animals Lebanon.
Cool. Because I think I can... Animals...
While we're talking about acquaintances doing interesting work abroad, we just heard this morning from Claire and Erica and Jim Abrams of Animal Aid in Udaipur, India, who actually come from West Seattle. They relocated to India more than 15 years ago and have built an animal rescue organization there up from just the three of them when Claire was in her early teens up to, it's now one of the largest humane societies in India with 150 employees.
I'm sure Eileen knows them.
Eileen knows them. They were almost neighbors in West Seattle years ago. So just thought they'd be worth a mention, and probably some of your listeners will know them and remember them and be happy to hear that their organization, which started on a wing and a prayer, has grown and prospered and is taking on new and larger projects with Claire now as the director.
Wonderful. All right. And then I just pulled up Facebook and just did Animals Lebanon. Whoa, all kinds of stuff comes up. And so I just clicked to follow them, but I could immediately see lots of different posts and covering the war and photographs and anyway, a lot of information about animals in the war and all of that. So Animals Lebanon, that's a good one.
In searching for these animals, I'm sure that they come upon humans as well, that I have no doubt in my mind that they'd be helping the humans too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're going to close out hour number two and fire out hour number three. That means Love Train's coming up. It occurs to me, though, I was thinking, Merritt and Beth, it's okay with you. I think just going to put out to everybody, we have another hour of time to go with Merritt and Beth. And, of course, there's lots of stuff that we can talk about. But it just keep popping in my mind. Are there any of you sitting out there, you know, like I wanted to know about the war and the animals and that kind of stuff. Is there anything about animals that you want to know about? That because chances are, if there's something you want to know about, Merritt and Beth probably have some information. So just going to let you know that phone lines will be open. And if you want to give us a call, if there's something in particular about animals you want to know, we might as well take advantage of the fact they're here. We have some extra time. So let you guys chime in on what you want to hear about. So.
And local I just want to let you know, too, that you don't necessarily have to participate by talking on the show. So if you're a little bit shy to speak, that's okay. You can just let me know when I'm taking your call what it is you want to know about, and then I'll either type it in or ask it myself.
Yeah. Hey, so that's cool. So if you don't want to be on the air with us, you can just call Nathan, tell him what you want to know about. But I just wanted to put it out there to you. You know, they're here. We got advantage. We can take advantage of them. And if there's something about animals you need information on, chances are they have some, okay? After all, how long has it been? I had no idea that Merritt's a cat guy. A cat lady in a guy suit. How cool is that? Woohoo! Anyway, 425-373-5527. 425-373-5527 or toll-free 888-298-5569. Now, we are going to fire up the love train here one more time. And you know that love is the most powerful energy on the planet. And rather than just talk about how bad things are, let's just bury the planet in love and raise the vibration as much as we can. That's really the best we can do right now. So I always remember, you don't get to opt out. Dancing is required. But you can dance in your head. You can dance in your bed. You can dance in your chair. You can dance anywhere. Get up and join the love train with us all. Now that I can figure out my Zoom here and get my stuff going, I'll be able to cruise through and pick you up. We'll have a normal love train here and not a frustrated Martha. Anyway, I energize up the love train music with our yogi energization prayer. Here we go with that. Oh, infinite spirit, recharge our bodies with thy conscious cosmic energy, our minds with thy concentration and determination, our souls and all souls with thy ever new joy. O eternal youth, the body and mind, abide in us forever and forever via the love train, and it's coming right up. Another hour to go with Merritt and Beth, so stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1100.